Everybody praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for bringing us together in our combined service today. Thank God for you. I said, thank God for you. I will praise the Lord for everything He's doing, but there is yet more He will do through you and through us together in Jesus' name. And I pray that everywhere we are today, hearing this word, that the God of heaven, our Savior, Redeemer, Jesus, is sending to us by the Spirit, it will penetrate every heart. And it will make us to rise up with passion and with purpose to do what the Lord has called every one of us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. So that the Lord will make a new man out of you. Amen. A new woman out of you. Amen. A new minister out of you. Amen. And there'll be a new ministry that will help you to carry out in Jesus' name. Amen. I receive that. Be it confirmed in your life. Amen. Father, we thank you because your purpose for every life. And we thank you that your power to perform will be visible in every life in Jesus' name. Amen. No useless member in the body of Christ. And everyone here without exception, the might, the power, the anointing of the Lord will be upon you to do what He purposed from all eternity that you will do and be. And I pray that your life will be a life of fulfillment, a life of achievement, a life of commendation from heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Headquarters, amen. Amen. Today we're coming to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. It says in 1 Samuel 13, 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." It's not talking to you, that one. It's talking to Saul. Saul, a man of a stubborn will. Saul, a man of an aggressive temper. Saul, a man of unstable character. Saul, a man of lawless disposition. And the Lord said, because of that stubbornness, and the person is aggressive in doing evil, aggressive in pursuing David to kill him, unstable in character, undependable. And because he took laws into his hand, the king in Israel was to take the book of the law and read and apply unto himself, lawless man. Because of that, it says, now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him, a man after his own heart. And it says the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept, not obeyed, not observed that which the Lord commanded thee. The Lord sought for a man after his own heart. And that's how eventually in chapter 16, verse 13, it tells us, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord anointing him. We're looking at the word today on anointing for believers after God's heart. A man of faith, a man, a believer, a man that has the heart of God within him, the anointing of that believer, the believer who is after God's heart. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the search and choice of a man after God's heart. Number two is the Spirit and the conferring something upon him, upon a man with a godly heart. Number three, the servanthood and characteristics of a man with a gospeler's heart. Look at number one. Number one is the search and the choice of a man after God's heart. In Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30, here God says, and I sought for a man. And he's still searching today. He's searching for a man who will fulfill his purpose, who will do his will, who will carry out his appointed assignment. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. He's searching for a man, he's searching for a person that will do what he wills, and so he will save lives, save families, save nations. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. In God's search, he found a man. Acts 13, 22. And when he had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David. He's been searching. He searched all their tribes. He searched all through the communities until he found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's what God was searching for. And God is still searching today for a man, for a woman, for a person who is after his own heart and who will fulfill the will of God. Three things. Number one, it is search for a man after God's heart. Number two is the selection of a man with a godly heart. Number three is the selflessness of a man with a guided heart. Look at number one. Number one, the search for a man after God's heart. As you look at the word of God, you will see that God wants men, not angels, to do his work. After the Lord Jesus Christ came and sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, He provided salvation for everyone on the face of the earth in every generation. And now he's searching for men, women, persons, people that will carry that gospel and go tell everyone. He's always been searching. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 1. In Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 1, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek and search in the broad places thereof if ye can find a man, a person, if there be any that executed judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. The Lord is still searching today for the people that love Christ, that have the gospel, that hate evil, and they will rise up to take his mind, his word, his will, his ways to everyone around, searching. Psalm 14 verse 2. It says in Psalm 14 verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did righteousness and seek God. Still searching, the search for a man after God's heart. The question is, will you be available? Will they find you saved, ready to serve? Not just thinking about yourself, thinking about the plan of God, the plan of salvation, about the purpose of God, why Christ died on the cross of Calvary. The search. Number two is the selection. The selection of a man with godly heart. Not just the human heart, and not just the natural heart, not the sinful heart. A man whose heart had been touched and transformed by the Lord. Psalm 51 verse 10 tells us about the prayer and the passion, the desire of David. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He already had a heart seeking God, passionately pursuing after everything the Lord desired. He strayed, and then he knew that even after going astray, what God will still be looking for will be the heart following after God. And he said, oh God, forgive, pardon, cleanse, and create in me a clean heart, oh God. And the Lord can do that. And the Lord will do that for everyone that seeks the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, that you want to be a man, a woman, after or with a godly heart. In Ezekiel chapter 36, reading from verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. It's the work of God, but we desire and we decide and we're desperate about it. We want this kind of heart that will be centered and will be focused on wanting to do the will of God. It says in verse 26, a new heart also will I give you. He desires to do that, because if he doesn't do that, he cannot use us. The heart that is bent on his self-will, the heart that is bent on having as much of the world as he could have. That heart will not be used for heavenly glory, but the heart that is centered on the glory of God, seeking the glory of God in your heart. Also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Why? Oh, because that's what made Saul fall. The stony heart, the stubborn heart, the self-will, the seeking for self-glory. Honor me, glorify me before the people. But you've gone astray. You've sinned. Yes, I know that, Samuel, I have sinned. But all the same, I need self-esteem. Self-will dictated his life. Self-glory dictated his life. That's why, if we're not going to be like Saul, he wants to take away the stony heart out of our flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. For Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. We human beings are so short-sighted, we're so carnal, that the first thing we look at, you see a person for the first time, you look at the face, you look at the height, you look at the stature, you look at his constitution. And then when he opens his mouth to talk, you look at his communication ability, you look at his natural talents. And when he walks, you look at the way he walks. And when he does anything, the smile, plastic smile, and the training is strange, the external. For the heart is not after God's heart. It's not a godly heart. It's not a saved, transformed heart. And even Samuel looked upon the stature, and he said, the anointed of the Lord is before me. But God said, no, look not on his stature, and look not on his countenance, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. When God looks at you, that's what you'll be looking for. Saved, cleansed, washed, committed to the glory of God and his glory alone. But look at number three. Number three, the selflessness of a man with a guided heart. A guided heart. The guided heart is there that says, there are many things in life I do not know. What do I know of tomorrow? What do I know of the future? I want to do anything, I must be guided. The person I see, the people that come around, the people that seem to follow, and the people that seem to sing Hosanna, and they praise the man today. What do I know what they'll say and do tomorrow? A guided heart. We need that. We're not just looking at their facial appearance, or their great, great promises, or the possibilities in their lives, and the positive attitude they might have while we interact with them. Look at David when he was telling the testimony of what the Lord had done through him. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. Well, if you've seen a man deranged, a man having mental instability, you've seen a man void of the Spirit of God, you've seen a man in an earlier chapter, in chapter 16, having the spirit of the devil tormenting him, but he was still king. And he brought David. David was the fellow that had played on the harp, and God used that inspired music to deliver Saul at that time, and he became well and refreshed. Now this David came to the fearful, trembling king, and he said, thy servant. He wasn't exalting himself above Saul because of what he knew about Saul. And then this is the man that God will use, not arrogating to themselves so much superiority, selfless. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. A lamb out of the flock. Verse 35, and I went out after the lion, after the bear, and smote him, and delivered each the sheep out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. There's a man that will not regard his own life, his own safety, his own security. There's a man that will not run when he saw the devastating, destroying lion or bear come to take just one lamb. If he wanted to have self-protection, he could have said, just one, I'm not going to, you know, endanger my life because of what just one lamb and because of just one sheep. Let that go. Well, the lion will come again and take that one, let that go. The lion will come again, the bear will come, take that one, let that go. Eventually, he will not be a faithful watchman over the sheep and the flock of his father. But because he was selfless and he gave his very life as God guided him. Now he says in verse 36, thy servant, always thy servant. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Why? Because Goliath, the giant, has come to take not just a sheep and not just a member of the commonwealth of Israel. He has come to take the glory of God away from Israel. He boasted, send me a man, and if I kill that man, Israel as a nation will be our servants, and we will rule you with our godless principles. This Goliath came to steal away the glory of God and the confidence of the people of God. They were already afraid, and they were trembling in their boots. And so he said, he didn't have any personal quarrel, any personal conflict with Goliath. No, Goliath had conflict with the Almighty God and challenge the authority and the divinity of the Almighty God. That's why David came, a selfless man, a man after God's heart, a man with a godly heart, and a man that had the heart that is guided by God. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. That's what the purpose that David now came against him. Look at Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8 tells us, I delight to do thy will, O my God. That will may be to take on Goliath. I delight to do that. That will of God may be to overlook what his elder brother said. You are proud because of the haughtiness of your mind. Have you come? What are you doing here? Go back home. You have to overcome that, because even though Eliab, the senior brother, did not understand, he said, is there not a cause? I was anointed. Last chapter, chapter 16, is there not a reason for that anointing? Who knew? Who could have told that Goliath, the enemy of Israel, of the nation, was waiting in the following, in the coming chapter? And he said, this is the will of God, and this is the purpose of the anointing. And he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Have you noticed he had a personal experience with God? He was saved. My shepherd, my rock, my fortress, my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Thy law is within my heart. When you come to the New Testament, that's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for a heart that is yielded unto the Lord. There are fruits of the Spirit, there are gifts of the Spirit. There are people who overlook the fruit of the Spirit. All they are running after, the gift of the Spirit. Would you know, brothers and sisters, somebody may have the gifts of the Spirit. If he does not have the fruit of the Spirit, he still will not get to heaven. Somebody may have the fruit of the Spirit, may not have the gifts of the Spirit, he will get to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're reading from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, the love of God, agape love in the heart, I am become as not as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Look at verse 2. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, agape love, the love of God in my heart, I am nothing. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, and have not love, charity, it profited me nothing. Look at verse 4. The fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long suffering and meekness and faith, fidelity and temperance, self-control, is the fruit of the Spirit that counts. And that is the evidence. We have the love of God in our heart. We have a heart that is passionately panting after the Lord. Charity suffered long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Look at verse 5 now. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Selfless. And it is that selflessness that shows that our heart have been transformed by the Lord. It's not easily provoked. Not easily provoked. It's not tempestuous in character. Always wanting to fight. Ready for a fight with anyone that does not agree with him in the least of matters. He thinketh no evil. We're looking at point number two. In point number two, we have the Spirit and the conferment of that Spirit on a man with a godly heart. It tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Please remember, Samuel was not carrying the horn of oil about and at every street corner pouring it upon everybody. Samuel was not having a bottle of oil that he had prayed over, and everywhere he went, in the bus, in the train, at the station, pouring the oil on people. No, this one, the Lord has sought for a man, and the Lord has selected a man, and now it is upon that chosen, selected man that God said, this is the man, anoint him, that he put the anointing upon. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the humble spirit in a humble heart. Number two, the Holy Spirit upon holy hearts. Number three, the heavenly spirit for a heaven-minded heart. Look at number one. Number one is the humble spirit of in his humble heart. This is talking about Samuel. Talking about David. Samuel came to the house of Jesse, and he said, bring all your children. The Lord has sent him to anoint, to choose a king. And he brought seven of them. And of course, he knew that David was a son, but in his mind, he disqualified David. It's good to shepherd my sheep, my flock. Let him stay there. We're talking about something important here, and he should not be counted among them. And none of the other children, the other sons, remembered David to remind their father. I about David, wouldn't he come? No, all of them, father, children, family, they thought David was not qualified. Eventually they called David, and David did not say, why didn't you call me at the beginning? Now you get to your wit's end, and now you are sending for me. I will not come. You've abandoned me here in the forest to take care of sheep. I'm all right. Do whatever you want to do. I am not coming. Humble people don't say that. Humble people don't say, he didn't think of me. Am I an afterthought that now that you've not found somebody qualified, now you are bringing me in? Humble people don't talk like that. They don't think like that. We're told in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we read from verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, and he sent and brought him in, and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look upon. I'm sure you know, as we're growing up, young people, and you see a boy handsome, and everybody, every time they see him, they comment, you're looking good. You are the most handsome person I've ever seen in my life. They become proud. And they think, everybody appreciates my look, my handsomeness, my stature, and the way, my carriage, the way I carry myself. They become proud. Have you seen young girls growing up? And, you know, when people see them, they say, excuse me, I cannot hold back my appreciation. You look so smart, so chic, and you look so beautiful. I think when you grow up, you shouldn't just marry anybody. You must marry the most, recognized person in the land. And they become proud. And every time they spend more time before the mirror than they spend with God in prayer, not David. This was a humble man, having a humble spirit in a humble heart. And then we're told the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he, and he'll become number one in the nation. But you know, after that anointing, he didn't drive out Saul. He didn't plot against Saul. He didn't say, I am the king. He waited for his time. That's a humble spirit in a humble heart. And he said himself in Psalm 131, verse 1. Psalm 131, verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. And that's the kind of heart the Lord wants every believer to have, a humble spirit and a humble heart. We're told in Acts chapter 20, verse 19. Acts 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. That's Paul the Apostle, serving the Lord. And he served the Lord more than all the apostles put together, yet with all humility of mind. He did miracles, and he saw miracles that others have not seen. Just singing in the prison was silence. The prison doors were open. There was a great mighty earthquake, and the prison was shaking to the foundation, and yet still serving God with all humility. He saw that man in Lystra, and he said, rise up on thy feet. And the man had never walked, and the man stood up, and he leaped and he walked. And the people said, the gods are among us. They even wanted to do sacrifice to him as a god. But no, he said, we're men of like passions as ye are. The humility of heart. That's what the Lord wants us to possess and to retain, even though he has chosen us and we're now in the ministry. Jeremiah chapter 45, we're reading from verse 5. And seekest thou great things for thyself, great name for thyself, great ministry, great publicity, great outgoing drive for thyself, seek them not. The Lord wants us to do everything for his glory, for the gospel, not because we want to have an exalted name, a powerful name, great recognition from the world. No, seekest thou great things for thyself, your heart will tell you why you have this kind of drive. Your heart will tell you what you are looking for. And if you are seeking great things for yourself, for your family, and for your name, the Lord says, seek them not. Look at number two. Number two is the Holy Spirit upon holy hearts. We must be holy. We're told in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. A clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But you know, in verse 10, he asked for clean heart, cleansed heart, purged heart, purified heart, sanctified heart, holy heart. And now in verse 11, in the following verse, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now we're told in Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 30. Ephesians 4 verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. David looked at his predecessor, at the person that came before him. He grieved the Lord. He grieved the Holy Spirit. And God said to Samuel, I am grieved for Samuel. Why? Samuel said unto Saul, how about this bleating of the sheep? I hear the man said, oh, we chose that to glorify, to serve, to worship, to sacrifice to your God. But he said, destroy them. Self-management, disobeying the word of the Lord, grieve the Lord, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Partial obedience, destroying the refuse, rejecting the things that are not profitable, but the things that appear profitable, holding on to them, not totally doing the will of God. David looked at his predecessor. He grieved God and grieved the Holy Spirit. And that Saul eventually had hatred, animosity, pursuing after David. He forgot all the good things David had done for him by his music and instrumental ministry, that he was responsible in driving out the evil spirit that plagued the life of Saul. He forgot all about that. There was a day that that evil spirit came upon Saul again, because he didn't have a permanent cure. or permanent solution to the spiritual problem he had because of his heart. And David was playing so as to deliver him again and refresh him. And when Saul saw that, he took a javelin, wanting to smite him and pin him to the wall. That man grieved God. And now he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Look at verse 31. In verse 31, let all bitterness in the heart grieves the Holy Spirit, and wrath and anger grieves the Holy Spirit. Anger is when you are thinking too much of yourself. Somebody has done something, you're not even thinking that God has not condemned him, God has not condemned her, but you don't like what has happened. You feel like you are assaulted, but God leaves him alone and God is not bothered about that. Those are non-essentials. If God is not looking at that, is not bothered by that, why are you bothered? You have a personal pride internally, and you are hurt by many things that people do. When God does not count an offense on such people, and anger, when you are thinking too much of what I want, they're not following after what I want, they're not doing what I want, they're not expressing my glory. That's why you are angry. Anger grieves the Holy Spirit, and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, that delights the Holy Spirit. And it says, tender hearted, when you are tender with young people, tender with older people, tender with people who might even have done something you don't appreciate. You know why they did it? They don't have your own maturity. They don't have your own way of looking at things. They're not thinking of the verse and the chapter that you are thinking of. They do not know that verse of scripture that you are thinking about. That's why they did what they did. If they were thinking like you are thinking, and if they were thinking of the verse of scripture you are thinking of, if they have your maturity, if they have your insight, they will do exactly what you would do, and they will do what you expect. Allow the differences. Allow that the man is growing. Allow the sister is growing, and she does not know yet everything I know. And in tenderness, you are going to help them, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's how we retain the Holy Spirit in the holy heart. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 7, it says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. In verse 8, it says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, whom has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. We're coming to number three. Number three, the heavenly spirit for heaven-minded hearts. We should be heavenly-minded, and then we have that heavenly spirit, the spirit that is sent from heaven. Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 33, it says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, he has shed for this which ye now see and hear. In verse 37, verse 38. In verse 38 it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you. The promise is unto you, but understand, the Holy Spirit will not live in an unholy chamber, unholy heart, unrighteous mind. That's why we repent. That's why we're reformed. That's why we're refined. That's why we're refreshed. That's why we're transformed. That's why we're made holy, so that we can have a holy heart prepared for this holy heavenly Spirit. The promise is unto you and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. In John chapter 14, reading from verse 16, John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The will of the Lord is we have the comforter, we have the Holy Spirit, and we cherish his presence in our heart, and we don't do things that will grieve the Holy Spirit, so that will abide with us forever. Verse 17, in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They're too worldly, they're unclean, they're righteous, they're dirty, they're defiled. And because they don't have any mind for holiness, the Holy Spirit cannot come and abide and take residence in them. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. You are saved, the Holy Spirit bears witness that you are a child of God. You are sanctified in the sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit dwelleth with you and shall be in you. When you are baptized, immersed, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Chapter 15 of John, reading from verse 26. Chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, that's after he's gone to heaven, even the Spirit of truth. If you love the truth, a Spirit of truth, dwell with me, and I will truthful be. And Holy Spirit, dwell with me, and I will holy be. Mighty Spirit, dwell with me, and I will mighty be. It says, send the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth forth from the Father, and he shall testify of me. He will not testify of himself. The Holy Ghost does not come talking about himself. He testifies about Christ, and he shows who Christ is, what Christ has done, and what Christ continues to do. In verse 27, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. John chapter 16, reading from verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Believers who are saved, who are sanctified, who read and study the scriptures much of the time, they think they know everything now. But the disciples had been with Christ, the Word personified, And yet he said, you have not known everything you ought to know. Then he said in verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself. And anyone that the Holy Spirit dwells in within will not speak of himself, will not be blowing his trumpet every time. And he points to Christ, and then in the next sentence, he points to himself. And he talks about himself, his quality, his sacrifice, his achievement, his purpose in life, his calling, everything. More than he talks about the Christ who has saved him, sanctified him, and giving him the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is there, the Holy Spirit will restrain you. If you have made a mistake in the past about yourself, now when he comes, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And we're coming to point number three, the servanthood and the characteristics of a man with a gospeler's heart. Would you understand that David in the Old Testament, he served, his mind was to serve the people of God, the people of Israel, and he served in various ways without minding what Michal, the daughter of Saul, may comment and look down upon him and belittle him. His was a heart to serve, and the characteristic he had was the gospeler's heart. In Psalm 40, verse 8 and verse 9, this David, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Look at verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. Preaching the gospel, preaching the word, preaching the delight of God was his mind. That's what he wanted to do. And he would serve. How much more now, when the new covenant, how much more now we are in the New Testament, that we shall have the gospeler's heart. Look at three things here. Number one is commitment to the conversion of sinners. Number two is concern for the conservation of saints. Number three is calling for continuation with the Savior. That's the gospel, and that's a person having the gospeler's heart. Number one, commitment to the conversion of sinners. It tells us in Psalm 51, verse 12. Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Look at verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That was his mind, that the mind you ought to have. You have the joy of salvation, the peace that comes with salvation. You have the victory that comes with salvation. Then will you preach his word and teach sinners, and sinners shall be converted unto the Lord. Psalm 19, we're reading from verse 7. It says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It says he doesn't find any fault, any error in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. And so he will confidently take that word, the law of the Lord, and declare to sinners, because the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's our concentration today. We call sinners who have the gospel's heart, we want them to come and be converted unto the Lord. In Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. That's what you are preaching. That's your concentration. Everything you do, your want, your action, your act, your life, your lifestyle, your preaching, your teaching, your exposition of scripture to bring repentance and conversion to people, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In verse 26, it says in verse 26, unto you, false God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. James chapter 5 verse 19. In James chapter 5 verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. That's your heart. Your heart is not to join the people or anyone who has erred from the truth. And they're proud in their error. And they're proud in their evil. It says what you are to do is not to join them and encourage them in their error. You convert them. Verse 20. In verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Look at number two. Number two is concern for the conservation of saints. When sinners have been converted, you want to conserve them, preserve them, disciple them, so that they'll not fall back into the world. And that was the concern of the psalmist, of David. He had concern to conserve the saints. Psalm 31 verse 23. In Psalm 31 verse 23, love the Lord, all ye his saints. He was, addressing the saints, those who know the Lord already. He said, love the Lord, O ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. So he wanted them to be faithful and plentifully rewarded the proud doer. Look at Psalm 37, verse 28. In Psalm 37, verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment, justice, and forsaketh not his saints. Therefore, he encouraged them to remain saints and to remain saintly. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. In Psalm 50, verse 5. Psalm 50 verse 5, gather my saints together unto me. He had listened to the instruction of the Lord. And David, this was the mind of David, to conserve the saints of God as God had directed. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made covenant with me by sacrifice. And he tells us in Psalm 85, reading from verse 8, 85 verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He wouldn't miss fellowship, the congregation of the righteous, because I want to hear what God the Lord will speak. Even house fellowship, the Lord speaks to us and directs us. I go. He wants you to go there. And you're not going because, you know, okay, our leaders are making the announcement, I must go. Yes, we should obey because our leaders said so, but also because that's what God wants. He does not want the forsaking of ourselves together. Therefore, the man says, the psalmist David said, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, And he says, because he'll speak peace, he'll speak purity, he'll speak progress, I will go, but let them not turn again to folly. That was the mind, that was the concern that David had, to conserve the saints. Number three, the calling for continuation with the Savior. That was the mind of this David. This is a man after God's own heart. It tells us in Psalm 106, verse 21. 106, verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior. If there was anything that pained David to the heart, it is that the children of Israel, those who have been saved, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. And the Lord wants us to remain with him who has saved us, who has forgiven us, and who has done great things and healed us. In Psalm 103, we're looking at verse 2. 103 verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. What are those benefits? Look at verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's the salvation he had. And he said he wanted the saved, the saints, the people of God to remain with the Savior. And always remember, he forgave all your iniquities, so healeth all thy diseases. That the very mind of Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You have the mind of Christ. Tell the people of God the same thing Christ has told us. Continue in his word and remain his disciple. We're looking at Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts 14, 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Encourage people, don't discourage them, lift up the fallen, don't push them down, show love and tenderness to them. If you see anyone that is not walking the way of God, the way he should, the way she should, that's not the time to take out the whip and begin to use some kind of authority like the people of the world. No, it's the time for tenderness. It's the time for love. It's the time to recover them and bring them back to the place they ought to be. Are they passing through trial, tribulation, temptation, and that is taking the better part of them? Make sure that you confirm those souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, trial, difficulty, enter into the kingdom of God. Here we have looked at David, called by God, chosen by God, because he was a man after God's heart, and the Lord delights in such people. And seeking for a man, seeking for a woman, seeking for a person that you will be a person after God's heart. He will do everything he needs to do so that it will come to the time he will anoint you, and anoint you with the power or the unction of the Holy Ghost, and you'll be everything he has created and saved you to be in Jesus' name. Not a judge of the promise of God, not a judge of the provision of God will be missing in your life. You will be all you ought to be. You will do all you ought to do. Your head will not lack anointing. Anoint your head with oil and your cup will run over. You'll be a useful member of the body of Christ. You will touch lives. You will recover the lost. And you'll be a blessing to this generation in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I am available. Be available. Be available. Be available. Because David was available, you are available. Today is your day for anointing, a new, a fresh anointing. Talk to the Lord in prayer.